Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the 8-Bit Adventures Podcast. This is episode 275. I'm your host, Sean Hayes, and we're here to bring you the latest and greatest geeky news of the week. So first off, folks, very light news week this week. As we are approaching the holiday season, you know, all the stuff that's kind of been announced already, we're kind of just in a holding pattern waiting for it to release. Just between last week and this week, it's kind of a little bit of a light news week. We do have some news topics, and our deep dive, it's just kind of recapping sort of what's coming in World of Warcraft Dragonflight, which releases later this month. Releases in about 4 weeks. Just shy of 4 weeks. Hope everyone's doing well. Hope you all have been enjoying the nice weather while it lasts. And that you're able to rake up all your leaves if you're in an area where that happens. And hope everyone had a great Halloween, as that was this week. Hope you were able to give out lots of candy to trick-or-treaters, or get lots of candy if you went trick-or-treating yourself. So we did a little bit of both with the kiddo. It was a lot of fun. He ended up doing a lot more houses than we thought he was going to do, so... All right. Why don't we get right into our news items this week? So we've got four quick news items. So here we go. All right. First up, probably the biggest news of this week concerning news in the sort of geekosphere. With The Witcher, Henry Cavill will not be reprising the role of Geralt after season 3 of the Netflix series. Liam Hemsworth will be replacing him. This is universally disappointed. The universal reaction to this is, there are rumors abound that Cavill... is leaving the show of his own accord, due to disagreements with the showrunners over departing from the source material. And also the fact that, stuff with Superman is likely to pick back up now with some new heads over at, Warner Brothers, or DC Studios, I'm sorry. And that he will be coming back for Superman. So, this is definitely sad. He made a great Geralt, and despite the fact that season 3 isn't out yet, Netflix is already planning a season 4, I guess. I don't know. Maybe, we could be wrong and Liam Hemsworth might do a great job. It's just the fact that Cavill brought a lot of passion and knowledge of the character to the role, and just made it great. So it'll be tough, I think. And we'll have to see, how things go after season 3, if maybe it is a showrunner problem. So there we go. Next up, Xbox Game Pass. Twitch is partnering with Xbox to give away 3 months of PC Game Pass subs when you purchase or gift 2 new Twitch subs. This offer will be valid from November 3rd to November 11th. This is something I might even jump in on this. I mean, 3 months. So Xbox Game Pass is probably the best sort of online gaming service out there right now. And so the fact that, if you purchase or gift two Twitch subs, which amounts to, you know, $10. You can get 3 months free. It's not the best deal, from what I have read, that Game Pass has done, where like they've previously done like a $1 deal before. I think this will be really great. There's a lot of like, you get a lot of free content with Game Pass. So it might be worth checking out if you get 3 months free, folks. And you know, as a reminder, you can always throw subs to twitch.tv/8bitadventures. So you know, throw two subs my way, and and we'll make this happen. But yeah, I'm excited. So just make sure between November 3rd and November 11th, so you have a little over a week to do that and get your code. So don't miss out. Next up, Anoma, which is the studio formerly known as Square Enix Montreal, is closing shortly after its purchase by Embracer Group in May. The closure will affect around 200 employees. Some employees have been offered positions at other branches, such as Eidos Montreal. Yeah, they were apparently working on a couple different projects that are now just completely scrapped. I think one was like a Stranger Things game. They tended to work on like mobile titles, so like Tomb Raider Go, and things like that. But yeah, not great. Embracer, kind of known for being a developer, not a developer, a publisher that goes out, buys studios, and then has all sorts of mismanagement decisions, really poor management decisions. So yeah, their statement about the closure was kind of just a boilerplate, blah, 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 you know, wanting to put the best foot forward for making games and blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, it's, you know, 200 people's lives will be affected by this closure over what is likely a penny pinching maneuver. So there you go. You know what can fix that and prevent that from happening? Unionization. So just to get that dig in, especially since we're talking about World of Warcraft later on. All right, last up for our news, PlayStation Plus, despite Sony's relaunch of the service with like being a three-tiered service, that was in July, I believe, they have lost 1.9 million subscribers since then. So between July and September of this year. So since the relaunch, they've lost almost 2 million subscribers. Now, granted, they still have a pretty healthy subscriber base. It's like double of what Game Pass has. But it's the fact that they were hoping to do that relaunch to make it easier for like and give people more options to subscribe in order to gain more subscribers. And it's totally not working. So at best, it allowed them to like not lose as many as opposed to gain. So not great. Although, you know, Sony's kind of in a position where, you know, they're still safe for now, by all means, and their revenue's up. So, you know, obviously it's more of like, we're doing okay, but this initiative didn't work. So what do? Then everything's a catastrophe. So that's not the case by any means. It's just, I certainly can empathize with putting in all the work to do this, you know, brand new, you know, not necessarily a new service, but repackaging of a service in an effort to get more people involved. And then you just end up losing people. So there we go. Who knows? Maybe I don't know if they'll just stay the course and see like if that trend reverses or, you know, if this prompts more changes to the service. Because a big critique was like the various tiers just made it confusing instead of like easier. But only time will tell. So we'll keep an eye on those numbers and see. I'm sure people report on it if the needle moves in either direction, as to whether or not this was a successful endeavor. So that is going to wrap things up for our quickfire news. As I said, not a whole lot of interesting stuff going on. Basically, various news channels are covering, you know, are like filler stories, or everybody's really just focused on Twitter, just absolutely going into the trash bin. So, with that, why don't we switch gears and we'll do a little overview of World of Warcraft Dragonflight. Okay, so World of Warcraft Dragonflight is the newest expansion to World of Warcraft. It releases on November 28th. Kind of a lot of things that the development team was looking at to kind of reignite the user base. WoW's not in a great state right now. Not only for all of the problems happening at Activision Blizzard, but just like the state of the game is kind of not great. And they've noticed like a huge subscriber loss, even before all the controversies and scandals, were brought to light. Shadowlands ended up not being a very good expansion. And then coupled with COVID, there was just a really longer than usual content drought. And then when, you know, we did get content, it wasn't enough to satisfy a lot of the user base. So, and in fact, most people have just gone back to doing WoW Classic instead of retail. So the dev team's looking at this and thinking, what are things that need tweaking, which they always do. But it feels like a lot of these, you know, some of them are just sort of reinventing the wheel. And some of them are sort of a continual progression of things that they do with the game, which namely is taking a look at very popular third-party plugins and add-ons and mods and stuff, and figuring out a way to bake that into the base UI. Before we get into those enhancements, so things we get, a new player option, the Drekthir, which are a sort of half dragon, you know, dragonkin type of species. They can assume a human form as well as their natural sort of dragon form. I believe it sort of works like Worgen, where it's like on a toggle, and if you enter combat, you automatically enter your dragonkin form. They do have wings. There is sort of a limited flight type ability that they get. Unfortunately, like their alternate form is always human, as opposed to sort of flavoring it based on what sort of dragon flight your dragon form is associated with. I think that would have been nice. So to see, blue Drekthir might have a human form, whereas bronze Drekthir might have sort of a high elf blood elf form. Green could have a night elf form. What am I leaving out? Oh, Black Drekthir could have a human form, and Red Drekthir could also be a human form. Or just that you customize both, right? So that you pick like a sort of mortal race form. But I don't know if that's too much customization that Blizzard wanted to do. With that, they also get a custom class, a new class, the Evoker. Which is, to put it in like D&D terms, is kind of like a sorcerer type class, where it's doing a lot of very elemental magic. One of the specializations is like a healing spec for them. So very focused on heavily like spell casting and doing a lot of very dragon themed spells that they get to cast. So really sort of ramping up that sort of dragon theme going on with the expansion. So that, like, if you basically want to play a dragon, you would pick Drakthyr Evoker, and be able to do all that cool stuff. In addition, one of the main, mechanics and features of the expansion is dragon riding. So this is different than just using a flying mount. So it will function as sort of a flying mount, but you have sort of advanced flight controls that go into it. Now I say advanced, it's not going to be anything, you know, like a Microsoft Flight Simulator type deal as far as advanced flight controls. But it just means that rather than having it act like the swimming controls, where it's essentially, you know, you have your directional keys, and then, like, if you hit the jump button, you go up, and if you hit the sit button, you go down. It's a little more functioning how, like, vehicles do currently in the game, where oftentimes vehicles will have a little bit more of, like, controlling how you turn or angling yourself to increase or decrease your altitude, sort of a thing. They really wanted to lean into having a unique flight experience with this. My hope is that if this catches on, maybe they'll update the flight system so that all flying mounts function this way. That might be too tall of an order to ask, but at least, like, to make it so that this isn't a thing where it's a one and done. Like, you do it for the expansion and then you never do it again. Would be nice to see stuff work outside of the given expansion a little bit more. UI enhancements. So this is where I talk about so add-ons. So one of it being you will now be able to rearrange elements of your UI. So for folks who are familiar with sort of Elva UI or Bartender, I'm trying to think of other... Basically, any sort of customized UI add-on for World of Warcraft, you will be able to do sort of the basic functionality of that, of rearranging elements on your screen to better suit your needs as part of the base UI. I know they talked about new animations for looting things and just sort of cleaning up and tightening up the UI a bit. Those things for me are, like, very interesting, like getting into the little nitty gritty of, like, you know, there's always the big flashy stuff of, like, what new content are we getting, and what like, are we getting new classes? Are we getting new player options? You know, what sort of gear are we going to see? What sort of dungeons? And I'm like, oh, they included there's a thing that, you know, if you toggle this on, it allows you to move your world map or something. You know, just little things to, like, customize your UI and change it around. You know, for a while when I was raiding years ago, you know, I used Bartender and I had all sorts of different layouts and stuff based on what class I was playing, to, like, minimize the UI so that a lot was available on screen. And, you know, when I stopped raiding, I kind of just went back to the standard user interface, and didn't mess around with it a bit, because it's like, you know, I don't want to have to deal with all that stuff for just casual play. But now if it's going to be baked in, you know, it might be a little more accessible and not have to require using a third party add-on that then you have to update all the time. And, you know, things will occasionally break. Looks like there's also some bag enhancements coming, some, like, bag and backpack / inventory enhancements. So yeah, so those things are very exciting to me as just sort of, like, subsystems in the game. In addition, we will get updated professions. So I know when Dragonflight was first announced, I kind of touched on this stuff before, but just as a refresher. So crafting orders, you will be able to set up a crafting order to basically put it out there for people that have that profession to pick that up and make stuff for you. Which I think is nice. I personally, there are folks, you know, I'm sure who are going to think that this takes away from the community aspect of the game. You know, my time is precious. If I come back for this expansion, I don't want to have to, you know, sit in trade chat asking for mats, you know, asking for who's selling materials or advertising services and everything. Now it's just people can set up a work order and they put it out there and you can take it. You can review it. You can take it, make that item. It will use an auction house like interface. You will be able to send crafting orders for soulbound items. So normally that gets into a weird, like if it's a bind on pickup, normally you have to have that profession because the moment you create the item, it binds to you. Crafting orders will allow you to do that, and then it will be bound to the person who sent the crafting order. Quality will be introduced as a mechanic. So better quality gear will have like higher item levels and better stats. Potions will have more powerful effects. I like this. I think Final Fantasy XIV does something like this already. But it's nice to see, Warcraft kind of also getting on the bandwagon. And that, you know, it almost, you know, brings into effect of like a D&D aspect to it, I think. Crafting specializations. Folks who played in WoW Classic or basically before Cataclysm, I think, will remember professions, certain professions used to have specializations like this. So engineering used to have gnomish and goblin. Leatherworking used to have, I don't remember the types, but they were very specific types. Like I think one was like dragon scale leatherworking and one was like beast leatherworking and stuff like that. Something like that is coming back, so that it will allow you to become better at crafting that type of item. And allow basically people in the same guild to have different specializations and thus like be able to capitalize on different strengths to benefit your group. Crafting tables are going to be a thing that's set up in the hubs. Let's see, recrafting. Okay. So recrafting will allow you to take a piece of gear, crafted gear, you bring it into the crafting screen if you are able to create that item. You can then use a special ingredient, reagent, whatever, and it will allow you to like get a discount on the items needed to craft that item. And it will allow you to swap out any optional ingredient or reagents for crafting it. So that way then if you want to make like a couple different types of items to test them out. And it says recrafting will be available to non-crafters too, presumably for work orders. And then new profession gear, which doesn't take up any inventory slots. And automatically switches in when you're performing an action related to that profession. And it will have stats. It says it'll have stats that help you become better in your profession. I don't know what that necessarily means with how professions currently work. I mean, it used to be just that, like, you would get, like, skinning plus 10 if you had a skinning knife. Or a mining pick would give you, like, mining plus 10, which would just allow you to mine higher quality stuff earlier. I would love to see them expand more on sort of the crafting and gathering systems, and do interesting things with them. Like I know Final Fantasy XIV, like it's got involved crafting and gathering systems. And having played it, you know, I don't know if a lot of the systems actually add anything to the game. Like, I was really into it when I played the, you know, basically the free demos that I was able to do. But then, like, the more I thought about it was, like, I mean, it seems like just adding extra steps for the sake of making it different. And at the end of the day, it just adds difficulty when crafting a thing. Which, you know, I mean, sure, but I mean, that's a way, that's certainly a way to do crafting mechanics. For the people that don't know, how Final Fantasy XIV does crafting is, when you craft an item, you go through like a mini game, and what you do is you have to use like a certain, you have like action points, and your crafting abilities, like you actually have like skills that you have to use to craft the item. Your crafting skills take a certain number of action points. And your goal is essentially like to meet a certain threshold of quality before your action points run out. And, you know, you might have differences of like, you might have a skill where it has a lower chance of success, but it's really cheap. Like it only costs a few action points. Whereas you might have one that costs a lot more action points, but has a higher chance of success to like progress further along the track for quality. So I don't know. I mean, it ultimately, like, it's a thing where D&D kind of has this problem where like the base game is just during downtime. If you want to craft, like, you just spend this amount of gold to simulate like buying crafting materials. And then when you've spent the requisite number of days and the requisite number of materials, like, you just craft the item, assuming that you know how to make it. But like, assuming you know how to make it is like, there's not really any mechanics for knowing that or not. Whereas like there's all sorts of like third party supplements that like introduce crafting systems, that add some complexity. But ultimately, I don't know if I've ever had a group that was actually interested in adding complexity to crafting. I think when you start getting into that, we're making like mini games and stuff out of crafting things. You have to do it in such a way that makes it engaging. My hope is that World of Warcraft is taking the route of doing interesting things in a way that also, you know, builds engagement, and isn't just doing things for the sake of doing things. 'Cause like with Final Fantasy XIV, ultimately becomes like, well, I'm going to hold off on crafting things for a while because like I can't really do anything interesting. And it just becomes sort of a, how do I best use my action points? Which is the, you know, the point of that mini game is, how do I optimize my action points in order to make these items? You know, and ultimately at the end of the day, like, I mean, there have been attempts at doing interesting stuff with crafting that just ended up being like, I'm just going to click on, you know, things in the world, you know, to like add those reagents to a thing. And, you know, I don't know if it's just getting into sort of like a, you play enough video games and you realize that it all boils down to just like, I'm going to click on a thing and like, this could be a crafting thing. This could be a fetch quest thing. This could be picking something up. This could be just clicking through dialogue, and it all results in the same action. Yeah, I feel like I'm rambling. So anyway, there will be profession gear. So interested to see sort of what that looks like. They have examples. Icy Veins has examples of like jewel crafting and mining. So the mining is like a little backpack crate filled with like ore and gems and stuff, and like a mining helmet that has a little candle on it, and what looks like some kind of rogue armor. And then the jewel crafting, you get like a monocle eyepiece that has like gemstones in it, and like a gem cutter's apron. So yeah, I'm excited to see. I'm a big fan of crafting in general. So I'm curious to see what they do with it. Reputations, there's not really.
Excuse me.
There are four factions. I mean, reputation, they call it renown, and they make it sound like that it's a big new system and everything. It looks like it just functions the same as reputation has in the game before. But you do have renown with dragon riding, it sounds like, which will affect your ability to do neat stuff with your dragon mount. So, and then talent trees are back. It's no longer just the at various levels. There's you get a choice of three and you pick it, and that's your talent. They are going back to full on. I mean, it looks more like a lattice work than an actual tree. But basically going back to having various talents that you can spend X number of points in to either unlock an ability or improve an ability. And you get one for your class, and then you get a second one for your specialization, and you are able to spend points between the two to basically kind of mix and match what bonuses and benefits you get. Obviously, what's going to happen is there's going to be optimal builds. Because that's how talent trees work, is there's always going to be an optimal build for min-maxers. And essentially, unless you're a casual player, you're probably going to be expected to run that optimal build. Especially for like progression rating and stuff. So honestly, I think talents just present an illusion of choice that players want. But at least for a lot of people playing casually, which there may be a greater number nowadays than before, it means that you can go back and experiment and test things out yourself. And, you might pick something that, like, maybe is not optimal for, say, Mythic Dungeons, but is optimal for your particular play style in every other facet of the game. Like, if you spend 90% of your time going around doing daily quests and running around in the overworld and doing pet battles and, goofing off and doing world questing and like world events and stuff, that, often ends up being a different skill set required than doing like progression raiding or hardcore dungeon raiding. Or if you just, you, if like, if world PvP is your thing and like that's all you want to do. You might want a different, you're certainly going to want a different set of talents than doing mythics and raids. So, I have not gotten a chance to take a look at the talent trees. I know for a fact that they took a lot of the iconic abilities of various specializations and classes and rolled them into talents. So there is that. Most of the stuff that I've looked up that's class specific is for hunters because that's what I played before as my main. Oh, here we go. Let's take a look at more UI updates. But there will be a bunch of class changes, so. So they have modernized the appearance of the player's layout and view while maintaining the original design's personality. So they've removed clutter, basically. Action bars receive new art. There we go. Combined backpack functionality. Edit mode. So this is where it allows you to sort of customize your layout of your UI. So if you decide you don't want the map to be top right, you can, or the mini map to be top right, you want it to be like bottom center, you can do that. You can move stuff around. You will be able to save, edit, copy, and share them. The UI will also remember your layouts when you often switch between specializations. Options and accessibility features, interact key function, press and hold casting, action targeting, gamepad support. Gamepad support is nice. New option lets you press the interact key to interact with creatures and objects with a key press instead of your mouse. So that's neat. Press and hold casting is, so it only supports keyboard hotkeys. So if you hold down a key, it will just constantly and continually cast that spell, instead of having to like keep pressing it repeatedly. Oh, action targeting. Automatically targets enemies as you approach them and dynamically switches targets based on where you are facing. That's cool. And you are still able to tab target if you have that enabled. That might be an interesting thing. I mean, that does kind of conflict with some strategy, like for kiting, is you are often facing away from your target because you're running away to keep distance between the two of you. So then if you end up like accidentally targeting other stuff, oh boy. you can set minimum text size, so that's neat. Enabling the option makes names fade with distance instead of shrinking in size. So that's neat. Oh, this is great. Official controller support for Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch Pro controllers. That's neat. Oh, however, once Dragonflight hits, you will not be able to return to the old user interface without third-party add-ons. I don't know if anybody would return to the old user interface, but, you know, there you go. Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that I'm stoked about. I always stoked to hear about for games is like, what is your user interface like? What is your user experience like? So that'll be neat. And just the loot and loot window and inventory display have all sorts of changes to them. New animations and stuff, so yeah, for me, I'm still kind of on the fence. You know, I think there's been some evidence, of Blizzard making changes to address its cultural problems, like its company culture problems. And all the harassment issues. On the other hand, still very clearly engaging in a lot of anti-union behavior. And, you know, we're kind of at a point where, you know, most of the time I'm not playing newer games is I've either been picking stuff that's been on sale on Steam. if I am buying new games, like heavily discounted, and not very many of late, and trying to get value out of the games that I already have. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll be picking this up. You know, it might also be a sort of wait and see what the community consensus is, maybe, you know, a month or two in. And if it's really positive, maybe. It's tough for me because my guild is basically defunct at this point. So I don't really have people to play with. So for me, WoW is pretty much a single player game. You know, I play it like a single player game. That occasionally I have to party up with other people for. So there's not like a community pull that's enticing me to come back. But, you know, I have to say I am excited about a lot of these subsystem changes. So we'll have to see. You know, who knows? Maybe I'll just cash in a bunch of my gold to get to get a month free or something. You know, and do that with the WoW tokens. So, all right, that is going to wrap up sort of the quick overview of World of Warcraft Dragonflight. Again, releases November 28th, and I believe they're doing some sort of special right now where if you get a 12-month, like if you sign up for a 12-month subscription, you get some rare mount, like was previously a rare mount or whatever. So yeah, if that's how you want to go, and you still want to play, if it's like any of those similar promotions, if you already have that level of subscription, I believe you just automatically get the mount. So, something to think about. So yeah, that is going to wrap things up. So let's switch gears for Questlog. So Questlog is where I talk about what sort of geeky, nerdy goals I want to set for the week, and did I achieve my goals from last week. So the goal from last week was to complete the 8-Bit Adventures Chapter 1 book cover. Did not finish. Just there's been a lot of stuff going on just to, you know, get ready for Halloween. We have people visiting. You know, my dad's currently visiting. And then like next week, my in-laws are visiting. So and it's like approaching, you know, holiday season. It's tough. You know, work's picking back, you know, my actual day job work is picking up. We got a lot of stuff going on with that. So, and house projects. So unfortunately completing that cover kind of slipped through the cracks. So shame on me. But that is going to sort of be the repeat for, this next week. So yeah, still got the goal of trying to get the book done by the end of the month. And get it be in, have it at a point where I can get it into people's hands at the end of the month. So, and while I'm working on that, also trying to work on a new merch site with new merch available. Cause I know some of my current offerings, in the interest of making it comfy, I have learned, you know, tri-blend shirts, technically are a source of microplastics. Don't want to do that. You know, switching back to 100% cotton, but trying to make it like like ring spun cotton, which is a bit comfier material, for new merch, just to make sure that I'm not contributing to sort of the microplastic problem that's happening. So that is going to wrap things up for this week. Thank you all for joining me. If you would like to see more content from 8-Bit Adventures, be sure to check out our website at 8-bitadventures.com. If you'd like to help support that content, you can become a patron over at patreon.com/8bitadventures. Big shout out and thank you to all of our current patrons. I know there are going to be some UI changes coming to Patreon pretty soon. So I'm going to tackle those as they come in, make it a little bit easier to try and figure out like what tier is best for you. Should you decide to become a patron? But yeah, and again, another big thank you to all of my patrons. Thank you for your support, being able to set aside money to help fund hosting costs for the comic podcasts, all that good stuff. And finally, our opening theme is One Up by Professor Shy Guy. You can find his work over at professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. So that's going to wrap things up for this week. Thank you all for joining me. And as always, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your pie cake.